Well, it's so awesome to look back at what Jesus has done. And that's what this is all about. If you're just joining us today, is we're celebrating our fourth birthday as a church. So I can say to you again, happy birthday. I don't know about you, but I love birthdays. We don't usually say, I mean, we can say anniversary or birthday, but birthdays are so much fun because everybody gets to be part of it. And everybody gets goodie bags when you leave. So we'll talk more about some of that stuff. No goodie bags, but other things. But anyway, this is, like I said, this is an opportunity for us as a church. As we look back at some things that Jesus has done, it's not where we pat ourselves on the back and say, way to go, we're so great. No, we're here like we were declaring in the song, to declare our great God. We serve a God who is so great that he chooses to work in our lives. And so we look back to celebrate what Jesus has done, but we also look ahead, imagining what Jesus can do in the future. So a few years ago, Mandy and I moved into the area to start the Fountain from scratch. And it was a little bit of a daunting thing. We moved into our home, and the United Methodist Church and so many people had been praying for us and saying, go. And we got into our house and we're like, okay, great. We have no people. We have no church name. We have a little bit of money. There was a lot of no's, a lot of things we didn't have. And so we looked around and thought, you know what? This is, Ron was telling me before the first service, he said, remember how nervous you were 4 years ago when you were getting ready to preach the first message of the launch? I said, you better believe it, because it's one of those things where we had stepped out on faith so big as a church that if God didn't bail us out, we were going to fall flat on our face. And so here we are today, and what God's done, it's just the beginning. But I remember back then, and even now, we didn't know the names, we didn't know the faces, we didn't know all the stories of all the people that were going to eventually call the Fountain their home. And there's so many other people who have yet to call the Fountain their home. But what we did know from the very beginning, that this was God's dream. This was God's vision. It wasn't my own. It was God's vision from the beginning to start a church in this area that would reach people who are far from God and far, sometimes just disconnected from a local church, and lead them into growing relationship with Jesus. And so we knew, with everything we didn't have, we knew that we were standing in the power of Jesus. We were standing on the promises of God, and we knew we were standing in the presence of Jesus. And so Mandy and I decided to take a step of faith. And as we took one step, God took so many more steps and was so faithful. And since that time, countless people have taken steps to find a home here at the Fountain and are learning to follow Jesus step by step every single day. And so anyway, today we're starting a new series called Imagine. And the series is based on the prayer that the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, where he says this: now to him, that's Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And this is going to be kind of the banner of our whole series. And the truth is I still believe that Jesus can do immeasurably more and wants to do immeasurably more in your life. No matter how old you are, no matter how mature you are in your faith, Jesus still wants to do immeasurably more in your life. And I'm naive enough to believe that Jesus wants to do even more through the power of his Spirit working in our church. God wants to do immeasurably more. And so I want us to just imagine together, if each of us were willing to take a step of faith, to lean into the promises of God, to love people greater, to become even more generous, to trust God and pray bigger prayers for what God can do. Imagine who we could be and how many people might be able to see Jesus in us. So today we're going to focus on the love of God. And I want us to imagine love being demonstrated. Here's what I mean by that. What might happen if you and I could simply grasp this incredible reality of how much Jesus loves us? And what if in turn, imagine what could happen if you began to demonstrate Jesus' love to the people around you in an even greater way? So if you have your Bibles today, I want to invite you to turn to that theme verse for our series, Ephesians chapter 3. The words are also going to be on the screen. But as we kind of go over this over the next few weeks, let me tell you real quickly as you're turning there, here's where we're going. What we're going to be doing today, we're talking about love. Next week, we're going to talk about what Jesus could do through our generosity. The week three, we're going to go to talk about prayer. How if we trust God even more through prayer, what Jesus might be able to do. And then on week four, on Easter Sunday, we're going to imagine together how resurrection could happen, even more in our lives, and how it could happen in the lives of people around us. So that's where we're going. And I want to give you a challenge up front. I don't know about you, but as a guy and as a former athlete, whenever there's a challenge, I'm like, I'm in, I'm ready. Maybe that's just competitive nature that I have. But anyway, I want to issue you a challenge, and really a challenge for this church. And it's really this, this Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. I want to challenge you and encourage you to begin reading this prayer over the next several weeks, to start reading it with your family and start learning it. And more importantly, I want to encourage you to memorize it. It's a lot of words, but the reason I want you to do this is not to get some Bible sticker and to say, way to go, you're a better Christian for knowing that. No, what I want you to do is I want to encourage us to memorize this so that this can maybe become the prayer for your life, for what Jesus wants to do in your life. But also it can become our collective prayer, praying for what Jesus wants to do in our church as we move forward. So without further ado, let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16 and going all the way to 21. Here's the word of God. It says, the apostle Paul prays this, and he says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, some of you may hear that and say, my goodness, how could I ever know that? Well, I just want to encourage you to begin praying this, over your life and for what Jesus would do in our church. Here's a question for you to start out this morning. It's really this. What's the craziest, or maybe what's the most real way that someone's demonstrated their love for you? What's the craziest or maybe most tangible, real way that somebody's demonstrated their love for you? Maybe you think of your parents. Maybe you think of the way that they've loved you so well. Maybe for some of you, you think of your spouse, like how much your spouse loves you and they know everything about you, but they keep coming back and they keep loving you. Maybe for some of you, you think about maybe this friend in your life who has just supported you, and maybe through the difficult times and even the good seasons, they've just been there and they've supported you. For me, I was reminded this week of this story that a pastor once shared about this wedding that he participated in, that he officiated. And it's this beautiful picture. In fact, the wedding, essentially, he was officiating this wedding for this sweet lady, this older lady named Jean. And Jean has this this really sweet daughter named April, who has special needs. And April is, at the time of the wedding, April was 28 years old, but she was mentally and emotionally more like a child, more like a 6-year-old level. But and everybody loved her. And the thing was, she was the flower girl in the wedding. And so they'd been preparing so hard for the wedding, and Jean would just beam with excitement because she was just walking around with a pep in her step because of this guy who'd walked into her life, and she was getting, you know, to marry him. So during the premarital counseling, the pastor was taking them through there, and Jean would say to her husband, Rick, are you sure you want me? And she started naming all these things in her life that like were blemishes or wrong. She's like, I mean, I'm older. Like, look at all my wrinkles. And he would look at her and say, oh, you know, all of these things, those are like dimples to me. I mean, you are so beautiful. And Jean would just beam, and she would look at the pastor and say, can you believe what he's saying to me? I mean, no matter what I bring up, he just keeps telling me how beautiful I am and how much he loves me. And so she'd come up with more excuses. God, I mean, Jean, Rick, are you sure? I mean, I've got a daughter and it's a lot of work. Are you sure? Well, anyway, the wedding ceremony's going on, and it was beautiful. And it was one of those things where they did the vows and they did the rings, and everybody was kind of waiting on the unity candle because that usually comes after that if you do that. But it was, to everyone's surprise, they did something different than had ever that I'd ever seen at a wedding. And the pastor announced this. This wedding is going to be a little bit differently because not only is Rick going to give a ring to his bride, but Rick has also decided to purchase a ring for April, Jean's daughter, because he wants her to know that he is taking her as his very own, that he's choosing her as well to love her forever and ever and ever. So just imagine this scene. Here she is. She's the flower girl. You know, she probably already threw the flowers down, but she's standing there and she hears this and she just turns, 28-year-old girl, and she turns and screams at the top of her lungs and she starts crying and bawling and screaming, and she comes over to Rick and she throws her arms around him and she starts saying, you know, weeping, "I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." And everybody in the whole place is just like, "Oh my goodness." They're weeping. And so Rick puts the ring on April's finger. In other words, trying to say, "I love you so much that I want you to be my own." And you kind of get this picture here. I mean, this is. I don't know if there's a better picture of the love of God than that story, because the Bible gives us a couple illustrations or analogies of what his love is like and his relationship with us. And one of those is that the scripture tells us that God looks at us as his bride. So just imagine that conversation that goes on between Jean and Rick, and he, you know, Rick is taking Jean on as his bride, and she's saying, "Look, are you sure? I mean, you sure you want me?" This is what we say to God. Like, "Are you sure, God, you want somebody like me?" And we start bringing out our wrinkles and our blemishes and our flaws, and God's like, I know all those things, but you're beautiful. Yes, I choose you. I love you. And I want to make you into a new creation, into the person that I want you to be. The other illustration that you get is really this scene that happens between April and Rick. This analogy in the scripture where it says that God is the father to the fatherless. He's the father to the fatherless, and how God loves us so much that he chooses us to adopt us as his children. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you see that in that scene, how ridiculous that was, and like, what incredible love. And I don't know about you, if that's true, what the scripture says, if it's true, then it means that all of us, as we come to God, we should be a lot more like April this morning. When we come into the presence of God, and when we sing about his presence, because it's one of those things where we should be running up the stairs to God and saying, "No way. I mean, are you kidding me? I love you. I love you. I love you." And you kind of get this picture. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is praying in Ephesians chapter 3. This is the picture. This is what he's trying to help us to understand. He's praying that you and I would become more aware of God's presence in our lives. But more importantly, that you would become aware and filled with this ridiculous love that Jesus has for you. I mean, if we could just grasp even just a tiny bit of the diamond of how interesting his love is, if we could just grasp a little bit of that. He's saying that it's wide and it's long, it's high and it's deep. In other words, God's love for you is ever expansive. It never ends. It's got no limits and no barriers. And there's nothing that you could ever do to prevent God from loving you or to keep God, to make God love you any less. See, when you really, really know God's love, not just in your head, but when it filters into your heart, you become more like that scene with April running up to God and saying, "God, I love you so much." And it changes the way you live. And so I think the problem is so many people today, so many of us and so many people in the world around us still think it's just about religion. I mean, so many of us still think it's about just following the rules and jumping through the hoops and, you know, this system of lists and works where you've got to somehow earn your way to God and say, "God, are you happy with me now?" And the truth is, with God, it's always been about a relationship. It's always been about a relationship. In fact, we see this in what Jesus did on the cross, that in his life, in his death, and his resurrection, how much God loves us, that he was willing to come and to be with us, to surrender everything on the cross for us in order to be in relationship with you. And so it's almost like the creator of the universe, the Lord of the stars, looks at us and he points down at each and every one of us, and even people in our spheres of influence who don't know he exists. Even people who turn away from God's love and say, "God, I don't want you in my life." God reaches down and he says, no, "I love you so much and I choose you." And so it's interesting that the greatest command in all the Bible isn't do this or do that. the greatest commandment is this: love me. God has loved us so much, and his command to us is this: love me with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That's what God wants. And so we're here today to celebrate. We're here today not to check off a box and to say, God, did I do good enough today? We're here to connect to Jesus, to be surrounded by the love of Jesus because he first loved us. And so I just want you to imagine what could happen. What might happen in your life if you could just know, if you could just grasp an ounce of his love and how much he loves you? I think it would start to trickle into our everyday lives, and it would start to overflow into our relationships around us. So that's, I think, what the early church was known by. If you ever read the book of Acts, it's such an interesting picture of what God was doing in the lives of the disciples and what God is still doing today. Because the early church was known by this kind of love. I mean, it was so attractive, and it was so magnetic and contagious. Everybody wanted to be part of the church, not because they had the best statement of faith on their website, not because they had the coolest music or the newest style of church. People wanted to be part of the church because of the love they experienced with the people. You know, they knew, they had experienced Jesus's love for them so much that his love poured out of their lives through their actions onto the people around them. In fact, here's what it says in Acts chapter 2 about what they did in the early church. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I mean, the interesting thing is they were known by the way they loved people. I mean, that's what the Christians were known by. In fact, you kind of get this picture. The church wasn't a club. It wasn't a private club or a private meeting for the insiders. I mean, this was what the church was. That yes, they'd connect together. Yes, they would grow together in the Lord, but they worked even harder to reach out to the people in their spheres of influence and out in the community because they wanted to demonstrate God's love that they'd experienced through their actions. You almost get this picture of like there's no divide between what's the church and what's the world because the Spirit of the living God had fallen fresh on their lives and was pouring out in the lives of their community. And so Acts chapter 2 tells us what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They'd start learning what God wanted to do in their life. They also did life together. They ate together in their homes. They'd have fellowship opportunities. They'd also pray for each other and encourage each other. This is also kind of the way our refresh groups are modeled here at the Fountain, to read the scripture together, to eat some good food. Many times that happens, to pray for each other, and even to have some time where you can connect with each other. And this is the model of what they did. But did you notice something crazier they did? It wasn't just praying and encouraging. They also, when they would see a need out in the community, or in the people in their group, what they would do is they would often give financially in order to meet that need. And even crazier, and I can't imagine this, it even says that some of them were willing to sell their properties and their homes. They saw a need and they said, you know what, I want to be part of that. I want to help them with this. And they would sell their property and they would give it to them. And this is just crazy. Is it any wonder that everybody wanted to be part of the church? Because that's ridiculous love. Who would do that? And the result was the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it wasn't because of everything and how cool they were as a church. It was because of the love of Jesus, what God was doing in their lives, and how Jesus's love was pouring out of them onto the lives of people. Love being demonstrated. The bottom line for today, and kind of what I think God wants us to get from this, is this. This is the goal: to know God's love and make God's love known. This is what Jesus wants you to do: to know God's love, to grasp what it's really like in your life, and to make God's love known in our community and in our world. This is what we've been put on this earth to do. The fun thing is, as a pastor, I get to hear a lot of cool stories, a lot of testimonies. You saw some of those on the video, but I get to hear so many stories all the time on a weekly basis where people come up to me and they share things that God's doing in their life. And we just had a membership membership class that we just did. And there was the one phrase that kept coming up over and over and over. One of the things that they said is, the fountain has become a place where I regularly experience God's love and his grace. I was like, well, that's awesome. Praise God, you know. But I hear story after story, just like you heard on the video, where people say, I found a home here. I've encountered genuine people who really care about me. Or you know what? I just feel like I and my family, we have just been loved so, so well. And it's not a testimony to the music and to the sermons. It's a testimony to what God's doing in the lives of us, the people. Imagine what could happen if the love that people encounter in here. Imagine what could happen if the love that you've encountered here at the Fountain could overflow even more into our neighborhoods, into our community, into the schools and the businesses, and into the lives of everybody in our spheres of influence. Imagine if our church was so stunned by the love of Jesus that his love just starts to flow through us, not like a bucket that just contains God's love and enjoys it and says, oh, this is great, but like a water hose where we're receiving God's love and God's love is just gushing out onto the lives of people, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus is doing in our lives. Imagine if our way of celebrating God went far beyond what happens in our celebration here in worship. But what if all of a sudden we expanded our energy even more to start helping others, to help loving others and connecting them? Imagine who we could be, and more importantly, who they would start to see. Jesus. Here's what Jesus once said in John chapter 13, verse 35 about this. He says this, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You love one another. I mean, this is the thing that defined the early Christians and can define us. The truth is, we live in a world and we live in an area that is starving for the love that's found in Jesus. I mean, you see it on the news, you see it in people's lives. People are starving for love. And as we stand here today, I believe that God has us positioned for such a time as this, in this place, in this area, at this time, to do just that. To be a church that can reach out to our community and to our world to expand what God wants to do and to connect people closer to Jesus. But it doesn't happen by just throwing some events out in the community. Those are great. We do some cool things like that. But it happens mostly. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by each of us being willing to take a step. Being willing to take a step of faith to invest in and to love people all around you. In fact, through your love to lead people closer to Jesus. You may remember having a TV that had an antenna. You may remember having those TVs that had an antenna. Hey, there's one. It looks like a microwave. Just go with it. But anyway, this is what TVs used to look like, teenagers. But anyway, TVs used to have antennas, and we didn't have this cable thing, you know, teenagers. We didn't have this cable thing that you plug in. You had to have these things kind of like bunny ears. I don't have bunny ears, but I do have a drumstick, so just go with this. This is my antenna. The interesting thing is, you can have a TV in your room, you can have it plugged in, you can turn that baby on, but if you don't have your antenna up, it's of no use. It's not going to work at all. And this is the thing, maybe you were like the youngest child in your family, and maybe you were the one during the ball game that had to, you know, stand there while your dad says, no, left, right, and maybe you had to just, you know, stand there trying to get some signal, right? But the antenna is the thing that helps to connect. And so in the same way, I think one of the signs of spiritual maturity in the life of a believer is being a Christian who constantly has your antenna up. Being a person who constantly has your antenna up, looking all the time for opportunities to love people. To love people and to connect people closer to Jesus. In fact, it's one of those things where that's what I want you to do. And I think that's what Jesus wants for you. To be able to walk into a room, to be able to walk across the street and you've got your antenna up, you're paying attention, you're showing up for what Jesus wants to do, and you don't look at everything the way everybody else looks. You've got your antenna up, you're paying attention for how Jesus can I love people right now? How can I love the people around me, and how could you use this to help connect people closer to me, closer to you? So the question I have for you today is your antenna up? Is your antenna up? Are you paying attention? I don't know about you, but when God leaped into my heart with this idea as a teenager, one of the things that was so cool is you can go to work and you start to look at things very, very differently. You're not doing your job any longer. You're doing so much more than that. You got your antenna up. You're looking for opportunities to demonstrate Jesus's love. You're looking for opportunities to connect people closer to Jesus. It makes everything that looks mundane. You go to the gym and you're not just going to the gym and working out for your body. You're going there and you got your antenna up. You're wanting to show people Jesus's love. Is your antenna up? Well, let me give you just a few. Instead of just saying, all right, go demonstrate Jesus's love. What does that look like? Let me give you five really quick things, suggestions of how I think you can do that, how you can demonstrate Jesus's love. Here's just a real quick rundown. Number one is this: show up and be present. Show up and be present. Now that seems pretty obvious. We believe the Holy Spirit is already at work in the hearts and lives of every person. Our job is to simply show up and pay attention. See, this kind of goes back to having your antenna up. Be present. Be on the lookout for opportunities to love people well. And if you don't know where to start, start with the person right in front of you. Start with your spouse that's right in front of you. Start with the person at the grocery store that's right in front of you. When you're at the office, start with your boss who's right in front of you. And sometimes you don't like that. But anyway, we start with the people right in front of us. One of the things that struggles that I have is text messaging and Facebook and all this stuff. Sometimes I find myself, I don't have my antenna up. You know, I go somewhere and I'm on my phone, and even with my family, I'm on my phone and stuff like that. And I think so many times, I just imagine how many times I missed what Jesus wants to do in my life and what Jesus could do through the love that I could demonstrate if I simply had my antenna up, paying attention. Show up and be present. Number two, the second idea is this: pray for people throughout your day. Pray for people throughout your day. Now, this seems simple, but it takes a lot of listening. As you're connecting with people, as you're paying attention, you start listening to people well, and then you can start praying for them. Now, I'm not asking you to go to at the gym, somebody's on the bench press, and you just lay hands on them and you pray for them in the name of Jesus, you know? I'm not asking for that. But what I mean is when you get in the car, when you go home and you're just praying, if you've ever wondered what am I supposed to pray, just start praying over the lives of people that you encounter. Just pray for your neighbors. What would happen if you started to pray for not just the ailments in people's lives? Sometimes, like, what am I supposed to pray? There's nothing wrong with them. What if you started praying for your neighbor, your friends? What if you start praying for people, for God to help them in their marriage, for God to grow them closer to their kids, for Jesus to become more evident in their life in so many ways? You can even pray for their business. You start praying for them. And the thing that happens as you start praying for people in your life, God will grow your heart for the people in your life. Here's number three. Invite your friends and unchurched friends over for dinner or dessert. Now, this is fun. It doesn't have to be formal or fancy. Basically, Mandy and I do this all the time. You just let people in your life. If you don't like eating, I don't know what's wrong with you, but if you don't like eating, you can go fishing with somebody or whatever. But basically, what we do, we just serve pizza and Cokes, you know, or we have coffee and brownies, something real simple. And what happens is it's all about making relationships. It's all about spending time with people and connecting with people, showing people that you care about them. So you don't have to turn it into a Bible study and start saying the Gospel of John says this. No, no, no. You just spend time with people and laugh and tell stories and listen. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He would go and he would have dinner with people and he would just hang out with them. And people knew that he cared so much about them. Here's number four. Become low. What? Become low. Start serving people. Start serving people. Think about this. There's only so much that you can share by saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's only so much that you can demonstrate your love by on high. In order to show people how much you love, you got to show it with your actions. And sometimes it means lowering yourself and serving other people. There's a lot of ways you can do that. But you think about this. Jesus modeled this for us. He was the highest and greatest, and yet he was willing to get down on the floor and to wash the feet of his disciples. And so the thing is, this can look like a lot of things. It simply means you love people well by serving them well. It could mean you find something that nobody else likes to do and you go do it. You know, it could be that you find a way to volunteer, to serve the poor, to serve the hungry, to serve people who are in need in some kind of way. It may mean that you volunteer at Holly Park in our mobile home community that we volunteer at every month. It could be that maybe there's a teenager that comes to your mind. Maybe in this church, maybe not even in this church, that you can invest in and connect with. But there's a lot of ways you can do that. Start serving people. Number five, the last one is this. Invite people to church. Invite people to church. And this isn't a marketing thing. This is simply this. Jesus, you have done so much in my life. I've encountered real love, and you're inviting people to experience that love too. And so I want you to just imagine a church, imagine a people, imagine being a people who are captivated by Jesus's love and are striving with everything that we've got to demonstrate his love. That's what God wants for you. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you work in our lives. Thank you, God, for the way that you've worked in our church. And Jesus, today, in so many different ways, we come to you and we come to church, and sometimes we get mixed up with all the rules. Sometimes we get mixed up thinking that it's all about doing a dance and trying to make you happy. But Jesus, thank you for this picture of the scene at the wedding that we talked about. God, help us to be more like April, who sees how much you love us and that you choose us and are willing to run into your arms and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But in turn, Jesus, I pray for every one of us. I pray that we would be captivated by your love and we would have our antennas up, looking for opportunities to share and demonstrate your love to the people around us. But God, we know that we have the ability, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Because God, the scripture tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the same love that pursues us every single day, lives inside of us if we're followers of you. And so Jesus, I pray that your spirit would come alive and you would demonstrate your love through us. We ask this in your name. Amen.